You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Is anybody running the executive branch of the government? Who is running the executive
branch? Well, sadly, the person who's running the executive branch is a deranged, unhinged, dangerous president of the United States. And only a number of days until we can be protected from him. But he has done something so serious that there should be prosecution against him.
There we have Nancy Pelosi with a perfect setup question by Leslie Stahl of CBS 60 Minutes asking, is anybody running the executive branch? Oh, softball coming your way, Nancy. We have a deranged man in charge, and we're going to get rid of him. And, of course, she is now pushing, announcing on that program and also elsewhere Sunday, they would move to impeach President Donald Trump again because supporters of Trump stormed Capitol Hill last week. And sure enough, today, they started doing it, moving forward with it. They do have to deal with the Senate, however, and Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell released a memo on what the Senate will do if the House votes again to impeach Trump. He noted the earliest possible date the Senate could begin the process would be January 19, one day before President-elect Joe Biden takes office. So what's the purpose of impeaching him again? Why does Nancy want to do it? Because she can. Because she can. And they just all want to pile on and jump on. And we know and I agree that what happened at the Capitol was obscene. It was wrong. It was not patriotic. But they want to put it all on Trump, all of it. And they're going to look what they can to destroy him, not just for today, but tomorrow, but more importantly, for you. You are among the targets. The Anti-Trump Lincoln Project says it's already building a database of Trump officials and staffers with the intention of holding those people professionally accountable for supporting the president. Now, what does that sound like to you? Well, it sounds very much like we heard from the ABC political editor. I reported on the other day, Friday, and he said, again, this is the ABC News political editor. Getting rid of Trump is one thing, but we need to cleanse the Trump supporters, and that's going to take more time. And, of course, we have numerous legislators, Democrat, calling for Senators Hawley of Missouri and Cruz of Texas to be expelled because they were leading efforts to object to electoral votes. You're allowed to do that. You're allowed to object to the electoral votes. That's part of the provision. And in fact, Barbara Boxer had done it previously, Democrat. So Democrats have done the same thing. But because it's Trump, it's got to be different. Just like every riot has to be different if it has Trump supporters versus anyone else rioting in the street and causing insurrection. And what they're going to do now is look for every way they can to identify you and cleanse you. Now, you can say there's no censorship regarding Twitter and Parler being shut down because they're private entities. It's not a government censorship. But anytime you shut down a vehicle for expressing opinions and limit it only to one side or the other, one side or the other, and leftists, you need to be worried about this as well. That accounts to and equals censorship, no doubt about it. Not government sponsored, but so forth. And we've got numerous banks shutting down any monies to PACs that might be supporting the GOP and Trump. We even have the PGA moving an event from a Trump golf course. I put up on Larry Connors USA Facebook some comments early this morning. I think it's around 4 o'clock this morning. No wonder I couldn't sleep. And I'm going to read that to you in the second hour in more detail. A pledge I make to you. And the response already coming forward. And we're also going to be talking about general conspiracy theories on the left and the right. And sometimes it's hard to decipher, isn't it? It is. Listen, I check and double-check as many things as I can, and even then sometimes I have to be worried that something slipped by me and I'm taking it as fact. I urge you to always check and double-check. I'll do the best I can. I will never give you something fake if I know better. But help me, and I will stand by my pledge for you. I'll explain that a little bit later. We've got a lot to cover over the next 2 hours. And the left needs to be listening as well. Left, listen up. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
If you think disinfecting a home or office for COVID is way too expensive, I've got great news for you. Wellington Environmental can disinfect most homes for less than $300. I know you were thinking the cost would be two, three, maybe four times as much. Wellington can professionally disinfect most homes for less than $300. Cost for most offices, not much higher. You get the same professional treatment that Wellington provides hospitals and nursing homes. Also, Wellington is selling professional fogging devices. The cost, $500. But say you heard about it from Larry Connors and save $100. Here's a phone number to schedule Wellington to treat your home or office. 314-644-4930. I urge you to get on the schedule early. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Oh, smokestack lightning, shining just like gold. Why don't you hear me cry? Ooh, ooh, ooh.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
After one of the darkest days in our nation's history, a coup attempt, no longer bloodless, instigated by the President of the United States. The images of this attack are so shocking that many of Trump's enablers are finally, with just a few days left in his presidency, beginning to get the goddamn point that his continuous lies and humoring of racists and winks and nods to violent extremists are dangerous. Twitter and many other social media outlets have silenced him permanently. Members of his cabinet are bailing like rats from a sinking rat. Some of his closest allies on Capitol Hill are now trying to weasel their way out of their responsibility for the bloodshed.
So says Jake Tapper of CNN and NNN. I have to ask Jake Tapper, what are you guys doing trying to weasel your way out of the responsibility for bloodshed across the nation throughout this last summer? Accepting it, excusing it, explaining it, saying, well, but it's okay, but that none of it is okay. It wasn't okay during the summer, regards to who's doing it, when a peaceful assembly becomes a riot, a mob, looting, torching, setting buildings and businesses and homes on fire, attacking law enforcement. None of it. But did you hear the mainstream media cry out then, this is wrong, it's wrong? No, they did not. No, they were still pushing the whole idea of defund police. And I remind you again, as yesterday, I should say Friday, Tom Holman, acting deputy director of Department of Homeland Security, pointed out that not a single member of Congress got hurt when the rioters raced into the Capitol. Why? Well, because Capitol Police, along with others, helped protect them. And those Capitol Police and other officers were protecting some in the House and Senate who constantly vilify police, hate them, don't like them, want to defund them, and think they're useless unless they need something. And I let Jake Tapper use that statement. You heard him with the GD word. I decided he put it on his air like that. I'm going to let it play just like that. He wanted it stated, so be it. He just wants to let you know that by use of that word, it tells you I'm really ticked off. I'm not going to read the whole thing for you, but again, he said, the images of this attack are so shocking that many of Trump's enablers are finally, with just a few days left in his presidency, beginning to get the GD point that his continuous lies and humoring of racist and winks and nods to violent extremists are dangerous. I could say the same thing about the left, but of course, they wouldn't hear it. And here comes Nancy Pelosi again. We are going to get Trump and impeach him again. No, it makes no difference. It's going to be right on top of him leaving office anyway. Nancy Pelosi.
Well, I like the 25th Amendment because it gets rid of him. He's out of office. But there is strong support in the Congress for impeaching the president a second time. This president is guilty of inciting insurrection. He has to pay a price for that.
Guilty of citing insurrection. Governor Chris Christie, former Governor Chris Christie, has said the same thing about Trump. And also other Republicans, Senate Republicans, Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, Pat Toomey of Pennsylvania, also calling on Trump to resign for the insurrection at the Capitol and again blaming him. But I want to take you back on something. I want to re-stress again. When Jake Tapper stated in his opening remark you heard a moment ago, one of the darkest days in our nation's history, a coup attempt, no longer bloodless, and of course we're talking about the deaths that occurred. I'm going to stop again. I got to re-clarify something because I get ticked off every time I hear it. I heard Fox News today report 5 were killed in the rioting at the Capitol. No, no, no. There were not 5 killed. There were 5 deaths. One a Capitol police officer, one a woman who was trying to break through a Capitol glass doorway, getting into the house. And, of course, we had 3 of natural causes. So they were not killed. They died of natural causes. But anyway, back to the point. Jake Tapper, one of the darkest days in our nation's history, a coup attempt no longer bloodless, instigated by the President of the United States. He knows darn well this was not a coup attempt. They weren't going in there and trying to overthrow the government. They were in there just acting like a bunch of yahoos and idiots and unpatriotic and all about doing selfies and that kind of stuff, but they were not trying to overthrow the government. However, I still want to excuse what they did. But we do have members in our nation that do want to overthrow this government and want to change it. They want to dramatically change it, to transform it from what we have now to what they think would be better, which would be, socialism, maybe communism. And one of those on the far, far left that Pelosi had to admit in her 60 Minutes interview that, we're preparing new young people. That's what Pelosi told Leslie Stahl when she was asking about the age of Pelosi and Schumer and the others leading Democrats. When are you going to prepare the young people? And they said, we're doing that. And Leslie Stahl said, well, what about AOC? And Pelosi just went, whatever. But AOC is on side with Pelosi right now that we've got to get rid of Trump.
I absolutely believe that impeachment should be scheduled for several reasons. One, of course, our main priority is to ensure the removal of Donald Trump as president of the United States. Every minute and every hour that he is in office represents a clear and present danger, not just to the United States Congress, but frankly to the country. But in addition to removal, we're also talking about complete barring of the president, or rather of Donald Trump, from running for office ever again. And in addition to that, the potential ability to prevent pardoning himself from those charges that he was impeached for.
Trump could, if he's impeached while he's president, and of course it could be impeachment coming out of the House, but it's not final unless the Senate approves it, and that's not going to happen. He could pardon himself from federal charges, but not state charges as he's facing in New York and everyone else coming after him from all directions. But again, AOC and Pelosi and Jake Tapper and a whole list of the left gathering like hounds around Trump. U.S. Democrat Chair Hakeem Jeffries saying his plans to remove U.S. Donald Trump from office, says the occupant of the White House is guilty of inciting sedition. And they want to impeach him again. They want to impeach him again. He's going to be leaving office anyway. But why? Why? Well, because they can. And I know you've heard the phrase. I'm sure you have. Beating a dead horse. The horse doesn't feel it at that point. But, I mean, what's the purpose? The horse is dead. Why are you beating it? Well, because I can, and because I can show others, look what I did, and look at my anger, and you should be angry too. Grab a stick, come over here and help me beat this dead horse over and over and over again. What they're really trying to do is put fear into you. Anyone who supported Donald Trump, I told you a moment ago in the opening monologue, that the anti-Trump Lincoln Project is admitting the group is building what appears to be a blacklist, a database of Trump officials and staffers with intention of holding those people professionally accountable for supporting the president, for supporting the president. And by the way, that includes Stuart Stevens, a Republican operative who works with the Lincoln Project. At least he has an R that he wants to claim for his name. And, of course, the revelation of the database already sparking criticism from numerous conservative media figures. Fox News' Brett Hume saying this is not going to end well. Commentator Tammy Bruce said this is comparable to the Star of David patches Nazis forced Jews to wear during the Holocaust. And yet they continue to call Trump Nazi, Hitler. I thought we were going to have a time where we were going to try to bring everything back together. But there's a voice missing. There's a voice missing when it comes to impeaching Trump at this point again, or just saying, let's move on. Let's try to bring everybody together. Let's just, he's a dead horse. Move past him. But they fear the dead horse might actually get up again. And they fear many will gather around the horse and begin to carry the horse high, coming at them again. And Joe Biden is silent on the impeachment issue. He says, I'm just going to let Congress decide, which means green light. Congressman Jeff Van Drew. Congressman Jeff Van Drew is trying to make it clear that that's not a good idea. Congressman Jeff Van Drew, Republican, New Jersey.
I'm calling on the president-elect, Joe Biden, to say enough. Let's try to come together. This is going to be difficult because the philosophy of the new Democrats is very, very pro-left and very progressive. But still, there are some things in some areas I know that we can work together. The way to do that is not to call for another impeachment. The waste of money, the waste of time, the division that it will cause in the United States of America. Tens of millions of people still did vote and still do support Donald Trump.
Yeah, they do. And you're not bringing them together. You know, the Trump supporters are being told, shut up, fall in line. You should feel guilty about everything that's happened over the last 4 years. Everything? You should feel guilty about the Capitol riot because you're a Trump supporter. I had nothing to do with that. That would be like blaming Obama for the riots in the streets this last summer when he wasn't even president. And to my recollection, I don't think he said anything that anyone could say encourage people to get in the streets and do that. He has said stuff in the past. You could bring that up. But, I mean, how far back do you want to go to try to pin something on someone? No, this is just, again, waging a terror campaign against Trump supporters. And you know who's going to be hurt the most vulnerable? The minorities, men and women, black, brown, yellow, red, who supported Trump and stood with him in campaigns and behind him. And now they got to face others in their neighborhood and constituents around them. And what are they going to do? Are they going to cower? Are they going to have to slink away? They're going to try. What are they going to do when they suddenly find their job is cut? Oh, it just happened to fall on you, my friend. We noticed you had a Trump sticker on your bumper, so sorry, it's you. We got to cut somebody, and it's you. Just happened to be. They will also be punished because they dared speak out and express their own opinion. Freedom of expression. Free speech. Not under the rule of order that the Democrats will try to impose if the left really gets control, and they are working hard on it. Well, we do have the inauguration coming up. After what we saw the other day in the Capitol, will it be safe? Will the inauguration be carried out without fear? Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
First of all, understand we've been preparing for the inauguration with the Secret Service in the lead for months, and we've been doing it in a COVID environment, so we've accounted for all the unusual variables, and we account for the kind of violence you saw on January 6th. We are already planning for that before January 6th, not because we expect it, but as a contingency for which to be prepared. America can be very confident, and so can the president-elect and everybody who will be present that day. That will be a safe event from start to finish. And January 6th doesn't change that a bit.
Those are the words of Acting Director of Department of Homeland Security, Ken Cuccinelli. Muriel Bowser, the Democrat mayor of D.C., also wants increased security to lock down the inauguration of President-elect Joe Biden. And she's predicted that the inauguration on January 20 will require, quote, a different approach compared to past endeavors. And, of course, she described last week's assault on the Capitol as, quote, an unprecedented terrorist attack. I'll give her that. It hasn't really happened like that before, although there was a time. And I have not had time to do the research on it, but off the top of my head, there was a time, I think, after World War I, when returning vets were not getting the monies they were due, and vets from World War I began to camp out around the White House grounds, and they put up machine gun nests. They didn't, but the security for the White House and military put up machine gun nests to keep them from trying to invade the White House at the time. I'll have to dig that up for you. I know the first time I heard that, I thought that can't be true, but it is. I will have to get into that another time for you. But Bowser, in a letter, again, the D.C. mayor, says, while I'll be reaching out to a broad range of local, regional, federal partners to enhance cooperation among our bodies, I strongly urge the U.S. Department of Homeland Security to adjust its approach to the inauguration in several specific ways. Well, that's what you just heard Ken Cuccinelli say. We've been doing it. We have been doing it. We've been working for months for it. At this time, they are saying they're expecting 6,000-plus members from the National Guard from across the nation to be deployed across D.C. They're already in the process of putting up, and they have maybe finished by now, a 7-foot, they say, unscalable fence around the Capitol grounds. Many are being told by the mayor of D.C., stay at home, shut down businesses. In other words, she's saying, don't bother coming to this inauguration. I'm sure this will make Joe feel well. And I would say, I would encourage, as a matter of fact, if you are a Trump supporter, don't go. Don't go out there. You're just going to invite an opportunity for mayhem and chaos, even though you may just be there to observe. It is supposed to be a peaceful transfer of power. What we saw last week in the Capitol was not good. I don't want to see that repeated again. By the way, the U.S. Capitol Police Chief, who was in charge of last week's riots, said he asked supervisors ahead of time for permission to request the D.C. National Guard be on standby, but he said it was denied. Now, he resigned from his position as of Friday, and over the week, apparently, weekend, he told the Washington Post, he said, if we'd had the National Guard, we could have held them at bay longer until more officers from partner agencies could arrive. Now, that's conflicting with what we'd heard earlier, that there was no plan, nothing being done. They were set up to fail. There was one Capitol Hill officer I told you was leading, being followed by a bunch of white guys chasing him up a hallway. He actually turned away from the Senate chamber, and they chased him, so he protected many in the Senate at that point. Stand by for talks of conspiracies, or not.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
The president, again, has a 10-year blind spot and whatever obligation. I don't know what the Russians have on President Trump, whether it's personal, whether it's political, whether it's financial. I don't know what it is.
You think they have something on him.
But there's no other explaining why this president of the United States is such a handmaiden of Putin.
That is Nancy Pelosi, of course, talking about problems as she sees them with the Russian collusion story all over again. The Russian collusion story all over again involving Donald Trump. I want you to stop and think and consider something for a moment. While we've been hearing over the last several weeks from all of those on the left, including the mainstream media, there's no fraud in the election. It's all legit. It wasn't stolen. And, of course, Trump insisting it was, and others along with him. And I had questions about some of the ballots and how they were handled. Anytime you don't have chain of custody verified, as we're told they didn't have, anytime you don't have voter ID and signatures checked, as they didn't have, anything like that, yeah, it opens up fraud. Now, was it enough to change the election? I never said it was, but I'd like to know some answers. But, of course, we're considered, or we're conspiracy theorists because we raise questions about that. And yet when they have, for the last 4 years, from day one, resisted Trump and tried to blame him for a Russian collusion story, which was nonsense from the beginning, and they continue to parrot the story that Trump is beholden to Putin. Have they presented any piece of evidence? What, give me one. They demand that you show evidence of something going wrong with with the election. Give me evidence. Well, give me evidence about Trump and Russia, and you don't have it. You had the former CIA, former FBI, so forth and so on, all say, no, we didn't have anything. Didn't have anything. So that's a big question. That's a big question. We're in the process of setting up an interview I had scheduled. We're having some problem for some reason getting our contact online. We're still working on it. But while I'm waiting to do that, I'm not bringing him on just to talk about conspiracy. He has something he got published, and he shared it with me, and it raises some good questions. And you can look at anything and everything nowadays and say, well, that's got to be a conspiracy, and you must be involved. Quentin, are we going to have him? Quentin, do we have him on the line? Okay, good. All right, let me introduce him. Before I do, Arthur Clemens, is a guest. He is a served in Vietnam, E5, and wrote a piece for Veterans Today titled Where the Bodies Are Buried in Washington. Now, that title right away says, whoa, what's going on here? Now, I'm going to give you a background on Veterans Today. If you believe Wikipedia, Veterans Today is a pro-Kremlin, anti-Semitic conspiracy theory and fake news website, describing itself as a military veterans and foreign affairs journal. And again, labels it as a fake news website. Well, Arthur wrote a piece for them, and they ended up publishing it. Arthur, welcome aboard, sir.
Well, how you doing, Larry?
I'm good. So so let's get right to, first of all, are you aware of the claims against Veterans Today when you submitted your article that, you know, that some might label you as a conspiracy theorist all of a sudden simply because you got something published by them?
Well, I'm not really. I've never heard that before, but I have looked at the headlines of some of their articles, and they don't look very accurate to me.
But yeah, I agree with that. By the way, Arthur also had served as I said in Vietnam and has a Bronze Star. The piece you were writing. Let's get to the piece you wrote then, and let's get some of the details of that. You're talking about 9/11 great tragedies. You get into the fact about that we're going to have a president who, you say, was involved in covering up the tragedy of what? What was a tragedy that was covered up that Biden helped with, and as succinctly as you can?
Well, on October 25th, 2004, the New York Times published an article that said that there were 380 tons of high explosives that belonged to the Saddam Hussein regime in storage, and the U.S. Army was supposed to take possession of it, but somehow they were negligent, and all the 380 tons of explosives disappeared.
Yeah, that's a fact. I mean, we saw that documented in numerous cases. So what does it have to do with the appointment of the Secretary of Defense that Biden wants to name? General Austin.
Well, he was a commander in Iraq, but not at that particular time. And he was also a commander in Afghanistan. And he was just part of the general structure of the Army at that time that was responsible. They should have at least court-martialed somebody or named somebody as responsible for losing those explosives. Those explosives... there's no telling how many people were killed with those explosives, including American soldiers.
You also point out that he has, General Austin has no experience cutting costs, and you know his background. That I don't know, but you also talk about he's got Raytheon, a defense contractor, stock worth $36 million on the board of directors. Again, how much of that is factual check if we ran it right away?
Well, I got that information from Wikipedia.
Yeah, well, so, Wikipedia is the same one that says the publication you're using is fake news, so
it
that doesn't help you very much.
Well, anyway, I did find that Pine Island investment group, and I listed them in my article, and it does have him as one of the directors of it, which looks to me like they invest in defense contractor stocks, and where their money is.
So the other thing you point out in the article, and you're right, that's a big deal. If we had if 380 tons of high explosives lost to insurgents in Iraq around 2004, and again, that has been verified in other locations as well. But you also point out that several in command were aware of heroin trafficking. Is that correct?
Well, I don't know who was aware of what, but the Army knows that heroin production in Afghanistan is the highest of any country in the world.
Yeah, and, obviously,
nobody from no American soldiers have ever been caught smuggling heroin that I know of.
You raise a question about the death of Pat Tilley, of course, who had left the Pro Football League to go join after 9/11, and you're saying that might be tied to the Pat Tillman, I should say, not Tilley, of his death in 2004. We got conflicting stories on that from the beginning. They was killed in a firefight, then maybe it was friendly fire, and I still don't know the real story on that.
Well, I just found, since you sent me an email this morning, I found an article that said that he was actually shot three times in the head. It's written by Kyle Dalton on the Sportscasting Network, which is basically because he's a football player.
Right.
Does
he cite any sources, or he just kind of throws it out there with some of his report?
Well, he says that the there were,
Well, that's all right. I won't have you go through it. Well, the other thing I get around to before we let you go, Arthur, in the sense that watching what's happening across the nation right now, it is hard for the American public to discern, and I mean truly discern, what's fact, what's full truth, half truth, colored truth, tainted truth, are all fake. You know, how difficult is it for you? And, of course, when you submitted this, your belief was that you had a solid article. They ended up printing it. Do you have any regrets now that you submitted it to Veterans Today?
No, I mean, they say that bad publicity is better than no publicity.
Well, sometimes that ain't true. All right, Arthur, I appreciate your time. Thanks very much. That's Arthur Clemens. Thank you for your service to our country, by the way.
All right, thank you for having me.
You bet, Arthur Clemens. Wayne Dupree, who also has a radio show on iHeart Network, I believe, came out with something the other day. I haven't had a chance to check all this. I mean, there's so much. It's a fire hose of information. It's a broken dam of information. It just keeps flowing over you, trying to keep your head above. In this particular piece, he's talking about a retired CIA station chief claiming that China has now purchased over 100,000 acres in West Texas. Now, I grew up in West Texas. There's not a lot out there except mesquite bushes and rattlesnakes. I'm not trying to put it down. I've been there. It's oil-filled country. Pretty much it. Pretty barren. But supposedly, China has purchased over 100,000 acres in West Texas for what they say is an economic project, and U.S. Intel is kind of concerned about what kind of economic project. Apparently, it has to do with the Devil's River and the legendary Pecos River in the West Texas area of Val Verde County. That would be something to be watching. We're going to have to get back at some point, Gordon Chain, an expert on China, to see if he knows anything about that. And then we're going to take a break. And when we come back, let's talk about all the shutdown of social media options for anyone that might be conservative. That would include me, probably you, and also banking shutdown. Get ready to be blacklisted almost everywhere. Stand by, please.
Oh, baby, when you talk like that, you make a woman go mad. So be wise and keep on reading the signs of my body. I'm on tonight, you know my hips don't lie, and I'm starting to feel your joy. Come on, let's go. Real slow. Don't you see, baby, I see it's perfect.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
All right, so here we go. Censorship across the nation, the world, if you do not strike the tone of voice that they want. Now, again, let me impress upon you. I saw a columnist recently for the Post-Dispatch say, well, if Twitter is censoring you or Facebook, that's not really censorship. They're a private company and do what they want. Yes, that's true. Just like restaurants are private companies and they should be able to do what they want, open your damn doors and get people in so you can get your people hired and back to work. But that aside, they can make that judgment. But when they're doing it strictly because your political view differs, I'm not talking about you trying to incite or cause violence. And if so, why are they always allowing the leftists to put up their images of Trump's head being cut off or the Trump children being gored by an elephant and think it's all funny? They don't ever shut down the left. So you have to accept that. I just had a listener say, look, here's what I think you need to do, Larry. Leave big tech. Lead your listeners to technology that is free speech. I appreciate that, Mike. And I have something I want to share in the next hour about a pledge I'm going to make to this audience. But for right now, I'm going to say where I am on as many platforms as open. Facebook, Twitter, and Parler. But Parler now shut down as of today. Amazon Web Services suspended the site. I don't mean suspending the app where you can buy it. I mean they shut the site down. Taken offline. Because Amazon claimed the site failed to adequately moderate content on its platform. As if Twitter has. And here's the issue. Twitter and Facebook. And remember the noise over Senator Cotton for the New York Times? Some of the staff, all the snowflakes came in crying. How dare he get to write stuff in our thing? And they wanted to shut him down. Remember that? And the New York Times had to basically fire an editor and end up making an apology. While at the same time, they allow the Ayatollah of Iran to talk about killing Americans left and right. Or Farrakhan talking about enslaving white people and Jews or whatever. There's no balance. There's no allowance that say, this is wrong. It should all be wrong if you're going to do that. So Parler is now offline. Twitter is being pulled back, throttled back. And I've been waiting to see what they're going to do on that. My Parler account's the same thing as Twitter, at Larry Connors USA. But what's going on here? The idea is to shut down dissent. Now, what does that sound like? We've had the anti-fascists in the streets for 3+ years now. And they're claiming they are anti-fascist and that Trump's a fascist. Do they not know the history of fascists? Fascists did exactly what the anti-fascists say they're trying to fight, and that is shut down anything that opposes what their view is. And you got the mainstream media buying into it. They should know their history. They should know anti-fascists are the very ones who shut everything down. And the left should be really concerned about that as well. But it's not just that. Wall Street now slamming the lid on corporate political action committees and threatening pro-Trump politicians on Capitol Hill with blacklisting. All of this, of course, can be traced back to what happened at the Capitol the other day. But not every American that's a Trump supporter at one point or even voted for him was in D.C. to begin with, much less in the Capitol. Do you realize there were thousands upon thousands at that rally that Trump addressed? How many do you think you saw on the steps surrounding the Capitol? I'll give you 3,000, maybe 3+. How many were actually seen in the halls going through and tearing and ripping things up? All right, if I want to be really magnanimous, I'll say 500+. And I think that's a big, outrageous number. It's still wrong. And every one of them they've got pictures of. The FBI's posted more than 40 images of folks and names and faces. So they'll be going after them, and they should. But they're using that, as I told you the other day, they would use it to start silencing you and make you shut up and sit down, and you answer only when we call you, and you answer the way we want. And now we've got J.P. Morgan Chase, the nation's biggest bank by assets and market capitalization, stopping donations through its PAC for 6 months. Anything that would support a pro-Trump politician, they're going to shut it down. Citigroup, the third largest U.S. bank by assets, is putting a pause on political donations for the first quarter. They say for the first quarter of 2020. Somebody at AP, you didn't wake up, it's 2021. Goldman Sachs doing the same thing on donations, pending a review of, quote, how people acted during this period. That's according to the New York Times. Corporate America also freezing donations. Marriott, Blue Cross Blue Shield, Boston Scientific, all saying they're closing their political purse strings. The same ones that bent over and gave in to anti-police riots and protests all last year and accepted or gave pledging billions to Black Lives Matter and related causes, whether or not they believed it, but they were being extorted. They had to do something. If there's any silver lining in that, San Francisco police preparing for a possible pro-Trump demonstration at Twitter's headquarters right now in San Francisco. And Twitter's share price dropped more than 10%. Not a big deal for Dorsey, but just pointing it out. In the next hour, I want to read my pledge to you and share some of the comments since I posted it, I think around 4 this morning. Yeah, I was busy at work for you and for us, our nation, 4 this morning. Coming up, stand by, please.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.